This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
It's The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
Since O.J. Simpson died, the whole world has once again become O.J. obsessed. There's been all sorts of people over the last 20 days that have wanted to talk about the infamous trial, all sorts of people that have wanted to talk about his career as an actor, as a pitchman for Hertz. It was ironic that the person who made the decision to hire him for Hertz then died just 2 days after OJ did. And there's been a lot of people looking at the documentaries about his case, the books that were written about his case. I don't think anybody knew OJ better than Norman Pardo. Norman Pardo was a close friend of OJ Simpson and his former manager. He was also the founder of the Urban Core Institute, and he's the author of the book, Who Really Killed Nicole? OJ Simpson's Closest Confidant Tells All. Norm, thanks so much for joining me on the radio. Appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you having me on.
So, Norm, give folks a little bit of a background. I know you were OJ's manager, and I know you guys were pretty tight. How did you first get to know OJ?
Well, we met in an airplane hangar. I purchased this helicopter company. Actually, it was the same airplane hangar that the terrorists used to train for 9/11. I hate to say that, but I didn't know it at the time.
All right. And so you guys struck up a fast friendship in this airplane hangar?
Not really. It was more of a bet with my attorney that I could promote anybody or anything, and he brought OJ in there. And then me and him went out afterwards, after the meeting with all of us, and just had our own private meeting in a bar. And I kept asking him if he killed all those people, and he kept asking me, Norm, what do you really want from me? And then after that, we decided I'd take him out there and put him on tour and see what we could do. I was really just after that. I just wanted to answer who killed Nicole. That's all I was after from day one.
All right. Since you started there, let's start there. What did he say about who killed Nicole and what his role was in those murders, if any?
He just kept telling me, you don't want to know, let it go. And then I knew he knew something. Because he should have said, I didn't do it.
You have said at various times that OJ probably didn't commit these murders alone. What made you say that?
Because the witnesses that kept coming forward, including the guy who was with him, they knew too many things that nobody else knew. And so, all the puzzle pieces fell together. And it was complicated because everybody wanted me to stop investigating. The Kardashians wanted it stopped. OJ wanted it stopped. The prosecutor wanted it stopped. And I just kept going. So it was challenging. But at the end, I had a meeting with the president of CBS. And I went in there, and they had a big office with a bunch of people around a desk. And she stood up after I got done explaining what happened. She said, you've got the definitive story. How did we miss this? But they couldn't do anything with it, she said, because there were just too many big people involved in too many bad things.
Hmm. Well, so, Norm, let us in on the secret. We're talking with Norm Pardo, the author of Who Really Killed Nicole? O.J. Simpson's Closest Confidant Tells All. Give me your conclusion on these murders that people have been fascinated by for 30 years.
Well, Nicole was killed 2 hours after Ron. They weren't killed at the same time. Ron was killed first. OJ and Glenn Rogers went over there and basically, Glenn Rogers picked up Ron. And they took him to Nicole's house where OJ was already waiting for him. And they got into an argument. And that's why Ron was killed in the bushes. when Ron went through the gate, OJ was already in there and he didn't have nowhere to go. But then OJ ran out right as they were getting into a big fight after he got cut. That's why the blood on OJ's hand was everywhere. And Glenn killed Ron.
So you mentioned Glenn Rogers. If people don't know the name Glenn Rogers, he was a serial killer with a lengthy criminal history, a lengthy violent history. What does Glenn Rogers have to do with OJ? How did Glenn Rogers get in league with OJ? How did they get to know one another to the point that they would be carrying out murders together?
Well, that's the one part I don't even like myself. I don't even want to tell myself. If you read the book, the best way to do that, you'll read between the lines and know exactly how he got involved with OJ. See, there was a guy who was hired first. And this was there was a court document, his proffer, William Wise, that was hired to follow Nicole around. And in his proffer, he claims that he was told to kill Nicole. But he wasn't told that by O.J. Simpson. He was actually said in his proffer, this is his words, he was told by Robert Kardashian. And that's why when you really read the book, there was a lot of bad things happened. But there was a lot of people involved that nobody wants to talk about.
Hmm. By the way, if people just think that you're making this up, Glenn Rogers in a 2012 documentary actually claimed that he committed the murders of Nicole Simpson and Ron Goldman. You don't buy that, though.
I got a letter. He sent me a letter apologizing to OJ. That's what blew OJ up, made him mad at me. He sent me a letter from prison, Glenn Rogers did, to tell OJ he's sorry about what he did to Nicole. And I sent that letter to the OJ in prison. And then OJ blew up at me and told me, and this was a quote, "I told you to stay away from that man. I don't know you anymore."
But let me ask you a question, though, Norm. At one point, you're saying OJ couldn't have committed these murders alone. But if Glenn Rogers is writing a letter to OJ apologizing for killing Nicole and Ron, did Glenn Rogers kill them both by himself, or did he do that in league with OJ? What does your research suggest?
He was with OJ when they got in an argument with Ron. Then we went back to OJ's house, and he said, "I wasn't going to let that N-word leave me holding the bag." And he threw his glove over the fence. That's how the glove got at OJ's house, because OJ didn't pay him. And OJ already flew out of there and took off. So then he said about an hour or so later, he went back. He called Nicole and told her he had some nose sugar for her, or nose candy. And when she came to the door with the money, he took her around the corner where he killed Ron and killed her and got the money. And he also took her jewelry, which was pawned in Vegas. And one of the pieces of jewelry his mom actually was wearing in court.
As far as law enforcement goes, why do you think Glenn Rogers was never prosecuted for the Simpson and Ron Goldman murders?
Because they had already come up with a narrative, and they couldn't change it at that point. He was actually questioned and interviewed. He even said that in a letter, that he was interviewed by the prosecutor, and if I want, the testimony, I have to get it unsealed. But they refused to unseal it for me.
So your view is that Glenn Rogers was hired to commit these murders, at least the murder of Nicole.
He was hired to go over with OJ and thug out Ron. But it got out of control. But that's what he said. He said he wasn't hired to kill nobody. He was just hired to be a thug. And he said OJ didn't pay him for what he had to do.
I see.
So he went back to killing Nicole to get the money.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Hi, it's Ernie Anastas. You know, your thoughts can affect how you feel, and how you feel can impact your thoughts. Addressing your mind and body connection is the key to improving your overall wellness. Bergen Newbridge Medical Center is the largest hospital in New Jersey, providing comprehensive, equitable, compassionate, and high-quality emergency inpatient and outpatient medical care, plus mental health services and substance use disorder treatment. The Bergen Newbridge team can address your total health needs in one convenient location. Call 201-225-7130. For an appointment or newbridgehealth.org.
You alluded to that falling out that you and OJ had over this Glenn Rogers issue. I understand that you guys spoke and you patched things up before OJ ultimately passed away. When did you guys have your falling out, and how long were you guys estranged for?
Probably a year before he got out of prison, maybe a little more. We had a falling out. Then when he got out of prison, you know, he did that tweet. So he's got a lot of getting even to do, because he was really mad at me. And then, of course, a lot of people don't know this, but I was called by an actual bona fide hitman who said, OJ wants me gone. And a month later, believe it or not, I dropped dead at dinner. They revived me, but, you know, I was dead for 7 minutes.
Well, who do you think hired the hitman to kill you?
OJ.
So you think
the hitman told me that OJ said he's got two people, a couple people on his list he wants eliminated, and I was one of them.
He
sent me pictures of guns and tombstones and said he knew where I was at, and then so, it's just suspicious. The moment I got my book deal from Simon & Schuster, I was supposed to sign it at this big party where everybody was at it. And I dropped dead before I could sign it. I signed my book deal in the back of an ambulance.
So, Norm, there's a few things here that I think people are going to have a tough time with. So let's unpack them just slowly if we can. So OJ hires a hitman to kill you. He, I guess, tries to poison you, but is unsuccessful. One wonders, by the way, if you get your money back, if the hitman that you hire to commit a murder doesn't fully kill your victim. When then did you come to have a conversation with your would-be assassin about who hired him to kill you?
I didn't, be honest, I didn't let anybody know I was still alive for about a year after that happened. I didn't want him to know that I wasn't dead because, you know, OJ has a lot of connections. A lot of people do a lot of stupid things for him, just like those people in Vegas that went in and robbed those people. It's just OJ saying, hey, come on in here, bring guns and go rob those people, and I'm going to take my stuff back and you guys don't make money. Think about that. And they did it.
So
when OJ wants something done, he has a way of getting people to do whatever he wants. So I didn't know if he did it for sure. But I know it was awfully suspicious right after I get called by a hitman, I die.
Interesting.
And they couldn't find nothing wrong with me.
All right. Well, I'm glad you're okay. That's for sure. So tell me about your last conversation with OJ before he passed away.
Well, I think it just he wanted to mend the fences. You know, I don't think he wanted to die with, you know, anger between us. And a mutual friend of ours put us together and said, you guys need to talk. It was hard for me to be honest, talk to him. You know, we did talk. But knowing, you know, he could have been the one to kill. I'm not saying he did it. It could have been anybody. A lot of people didn't want that book out, and I hadn't signed the book deal yet. So it could have been anybody. I mean, the prosecutor didn't want it out. The Kardashians didn't want it out. OJ didn't want it out. Nobody wanted that book out. It's just a little odd that right there at the signing of the book, an hour before I was supposed to sign it, I died. Stand. I just was eating dinner, stood up, and dropped dead on my feet. And they said, well, something you ate maybe or something you drank. They couldn't figure it out.
Wow. So as somebody that worked with OJ for a bit and palled around with him for a bit, fill folks in. What kind of person was OJ on a personal level?
He was it depends on which OJ. There was a bunch of them. OJ had a whole bunch of personalities inside of him. There wasn't just one person. He would be one OJ 1 minute, and the next OJ the next minute. He'd go from a violent OJ to a nice OJ. And you couldn't tell which one he was until you really sat down for a while and watched him. He was totally unpredictable. One minute he's one of your best friends, and next minute, you know, he's very angry and he's throwing things. So, I mean, it was very challenging to work with him. But at the time, my job wasn't really, I didn't really care. I wasn't a celebrity hound at the time. I didn't really care. All I was interested in was finding, by working with him, I was able to bring all the people that knew him forward, and they would tell me what they knew. Because I was the OJ guy. I was the go-to guy for everything OJ. So for what I needed, it worked out perfect. I got footage. I got 70 hours of footage. I was able to get OJ to tell me all the little secrets he knew, and I was able to find out from everybody else what they knew.
We're talking with Norm Pardo. His book, if you want to check it out, is Who Really Killed Nicole? And apparently the answer to that is serial killer Glenn Rogers. Norm, a lot of people are going to hear this interview and hear a lot of information they haven't heard before and think that it sounds pretty fantastic. And especially, you know, now that OJ is dead, they're going to say that there's a possibility that you're saying this either for publicity or for some sort of material benefit, to sell a book, to promote a documentary, to do some other OJ-related project. You can understand that level of cynicism. What do you say to people that may think you're concocting a fantastic tale in order to profit from it?
Well, the tale that I'm supposedly concocting, I spent over $1 million and I had a dozen investigators working on it for 20 years. So it wasn't something I concocted today. Actually, the story has been out or known for at least 15 years. It's just been buried that long. Nobody wanted to talk about it. Now people want to talk about it. You know, my movie's been out, Who Killed Nicole? I have a movie out that's been out for years. So it's not like nothing new. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to come up with something after he's dead to profit from it, I'd have to sell a whole lot of books to get my $1 million back.
I can imagine. So I can imagine. Norm, what's next for you? You know, you've mentioned that you've spent a lot of time and a lot of money working on this case and researching it. What's the next step in all this?
I'm basically getting rid of the tapes. I'm selling all those off because I think they should be archived by a network or something.
When you say the tapes, which tapes are those?
I have 70 hours of footage that when we were on tour in the car doing all the different things, all the private conversations with OJ.
Ah, I see.
It's all caught on tape. So I've got 70 hours of all that that's been sitting in a safe deposit box. So I'm going to basically liquidate everything and move on. I mean, I've had a lot of universities and colleges call me and they want me to speak, you know, because they teach the O.J. Simpson trial, believe it or not, in schools, in their books. And so they've asked me to come forward and explain what I found, because if you really, everything I'm saying is documented and backed up by proof. That's the bottom line. Even the lady from CBS said, what you've got is a definitive story. She looked at the documents. She looked at the proof. She looked at the witnesses. And she said, everything here is backed up. You're not. There's no story here. There's no make-believe. It took me 20 years of digging to come up with this. And now that I've done all this, I'm done. You know, I really don't, you know, I don't see any more to do. I can come out now and say what's on my mind and but like I tell people, don't trust anything I say. Mm-hmm. Look at what I've got. It's all inside the book or it's online. The letters from Glenn is out there. The movie's out there. And you try to figure out what happened.
Norm,
now, when they came out of the movie theater after watching my movie, there was a survey done. 95% of the people that came out of there said that is the definitive story.
Norm, no, I'm going to have to check this out, this film. By the way, if people do want to check it out, how can they?
Just go to whokillednicole.com.
I'm going to check it out. Norm Pardo, his book is Who Really Killed Nicole? O.J. Simpson's Closest Confidant Tells All. Norm, thanks for staying up late with us.
Hey, I appreciate you having me on the show.
Sure thing. If you want to comment, be my guest, 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. This is The Other Side of Midnight, straight ahead.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.